Malls are making a comeback thanks to a unique generation. And you did hear me right. I said malls are making a comeback. This is TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Jim Bennett and John Nash, an off-the-cuff take on politics, pop culture, and current events.
Welcome to TFG Unbuttoned. John Nash here with my good friend and co-host Tim Bennett. We are the companion podcast to the Focus Group, and you can learn about both shows at focusgroupradio.com. Here on TFG Unbuttoned, we look at three quick stories early in the week and give you our take on things and probably introduce you to things you might not be aware of that are going on in the news. And on the Focus Group, which drops in video form on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for many of you that have been listening to the show for years, the Focus Group is the Focus Group. I don't know if it needs any further enhancement than that. I want to thank our partner here on TFG Unbuttoned, Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. They've been a partner of ours since we launched TFG Unbuttoned, a wonderful friend to the show, and we would like it if you would visit them and go down the rabbit hole and buy your packaged media and records and anything else that you like, because believe me, they have a lot there at Critics' Choice Video. You could get there by going to focusgroupradio.com, clicking on the Critics' Choice Video logo, and go down that rabbit hole. We'll visit with them later on. Mr. Bennett, welcome to the slide into Christmas.
I almost thought it was Christmas Eve, but I'm a week off.
Everything's off because Thanksgiving fell later in the
late
year.
Late, yes.
Okay, I got one for you, though, that I'm going to kick off things with. We were up at the house. I was just watching TV, and I think I went, I forget what channel, Cozy TV I might have been on. I think it might have been Cozy. And I clicked on just as The Odd Couple, Tony Randall, yeah, John Klugman started, and it was The Odd Couple Christmas show where they want, Felix wants Oscar to play Scrooge in a play that he's doing, and Oscar refuses, and he falls asleep on the couch, and in his dream he wakes up, and Felix is dressed as like Jacob Marley. Anyway. The show's progressing, and I hear Bob in the other room go, "I hated that show. I hated The Odd Couple." I'm like, no, I love The Odd Couple. And just as that happens, Murray the cop, if anybody remembers The Odd Couple, he's playing Tiny Tim. And at this point, Tony Randall or Felix is playing Bob Cratchit. And they're standing near a table, and Tiny Tim comes in with a crutch, and you hear Felix go, No, remember, don't touch the snow. You don't know where it's been. And don't bang the furniture with your crutch. Don't dent the furniture. I had that one line, don't touch the snow. Remember, don't touch the snow. You don't know where it's been. It took me all the way back to, I don't know how old I was with my younger sister, Laura, watching The Odd Couple on my grandmother's TV. We finally got color TV.
Oh, my God.
After she passed away. And both Laura and I practically crying of laughter, because we've had an experience with this snow thing.
Don't touch the snow. You don't know where it's right.
Well, there's a dog that used to live across the street from us, Buster, an old German Shepherd. He loved us kids. I loved that dog. My mother claims, I didn't really remember this until she gave me all the lowdown, but we saw that dog every day. And one day we were sitting out. We had a little hill by the house, and Lisa one year got wooden skis, like these little kids' skis for Christmas. They had springs on, the whole bit. We were watching her try to go down the hill. We're laughing. There was an old pan that we used to use to play kitchen outside, and it was filled with snow, and we're eating the snow out of the pan, and then my mom turns on the floodlights, and we look at the pan. We're like, oh, boy, because that was where Buster used to go. So we ran in, and we're like, we ate yellow snow. And
outside in the dark in the snow. That's Connecticut.
Yeah. So, but I'll just finish by saying The Odd Couple has a very 70s look to it. It's kind of gritty and dirty, almost like the color palettes, grays and dark blues. You know what I mean? It's not like the bubbly stuff we see today.
Yeah, a lot of those shows that went from black and white to colored or some of that era, they do look a little washed out or something. There's something about them that's odd, I think. I'm with Bob. I never liked The Odd Couple either. But I think that was an ABC show, so we didn't really get it.
Tim, I think it might have been. Yeah.
We got Lost in Space and The Munsters and
some good ones there, huh?
you know, the Beverly Hillbillies, anything CBS, All in the Family, all that sort of stuff. The Waltons. Waltons was a big one. We would watch the Waltons every Thursday night, 8 o'clock.
See, now that's something we did not tune into. Little House on the Prairie, yes.
See, we didn't watch Little House on the Prairie, but we were the Waltons, and there was always, you know, I watch it now, and it's, you know, it's a
morality
indoctrination.
Boy, right?
Well, it's indoctrination, yeah. It's like David and Goliath.
It's indoctrination to what?
Well, to the Christian, you know, Christian ways and do unto others and all that sort of stuff. Very much so like David and Goliath. When I watched that later on and realized it was, you know, done by the Lutheran Church. No wonder why I got to watch it every morning. Right? What would God say, Davy?
He'd say, go have fun.
Da, 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 da. You know, even, yeah, it was even yeah. They even played a hymn at the end. I mean, you know, it was.
And the cross came up too, I thought.
Everything. It was all kinds of stuff.
I just love the stop motion puppetry. It was like watching.
Well, that's what you liked. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I worked with a guy who was a Nazarene. I think I told you this. And the only thing he allowed his family to watch on the TV of old stuff was the Andy Griffith Show, because that was sanctioned by the Nazarenes as the most wholesome of the old sitcoms.
It just so happens it's one of your favorites.
And I do like it. I do think it's funny. I enjoy Barney. You gotta have Barney involved. Barney's not involved. It's not very funny. But but the whole town, they all go to the same church. They all preach at the same time. I mean, it's very, mm-hmm. you know, this is the Make America Great Again, right? It's the preacher. Everybody's a member of the same church in town. Everyone's all going to the same place. Nobody drinks. You know. It's I don't know. Make America great again, John.
Don't touch the snow, Tiny Tim. You don't know where it's been.
I was going to try to make Christmas cookies this year. Have you baked Christmas cookies?
Bob has pretty much settled on gingerbread biscotti.
Oh, okay.
And he's got a recipe. He kind of perfected this last year. He made four or five batches. I must have been during that period. Very easy, he claims. A lot of it's in the baking time. And he actually did they had a cookie swap at the office last year. And it wasn't a contest, but his were the best.
Of course they were. Well, Aldi's got some very good cookies this year. If you head into Aldi, but they're probably
sold out. I was at Aldi
out.
On Saturday. I was looking at their cookie. They had a lot. Like
they had a Bob gingerbread one with cream in the middle.
Oh,
really?
Which
is like crack. Yeah, the gingerbread one is great. There are a couple of mint ones, almost like the Thin Mints from the Girl Scouts that are unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I tried to go back because Richard plowed through two boxes. They're gone. But I'm hoping they get a resupply. I'm going to check today. But they have good cookies, and Costco used to always have great Christmas cookies. When we would do our show in Manhattan, the platter of Costco cookies, although somebody told me that they've changed since the pandemic. They're not doing them as much, or they're not doing as many flavors. So
I remember you, when we did the Christmas parties, you would bring maybe two or three of those, probably just two, because they were big, and they were people would take those home with them. They were great cookies.
Yeah, they were really good. So
these are the things I like about the holidays, actually. Some of the unique foods, you know, things you don't make during the year, stuff like that. So, all right, we got some stories for you folks. We could do endless banter. We could talk about cooking and things like that. Then we'd be like Julia Childs or something, or Jacques Pepin.
Jacques Pepin.
One of Tim's favorites. First story I saw in the news came across the wire a couple different places, and it's Stoli Group USA files for bankruptcy, cites drop in spirit demand and Russian conflict. Stoli is the rebranded name for Stolichnaya vodka. Very popular, you know, for us in the LGBTQ community, Absolut kind of was the gold medal of vodkas, because they were great about speaking to our consumer group, buying the back pages of Advocate Out, some of the big magazines, and just being very much present in the gay community for many, many years. And when they stepped away from that, Stoli stepped in, Svedka stepped in, a bunch of different vodkas have tried to do this.
Tito's.
Actually, Tito's probably is the one that's most dominant right now, but I haven't, you know, it used to be you could order like a Stoli and tonic or a Stoli and seltzer or something, and that's the way we used to phrase it. I was surprised by this, but they cited the fact, here's the interesting thing to me too. They said, okay, the company, they're filing for Chapter 11, which is reorganization, which means they plan to deal with their debt, keep their employees, you know, working and try to restructure the company, as opposed to Chapter 13, which is a full bankruptcy. But they estimated their assets were in the range. This is the part that gets me. Assets are 100 to 500 million, and the debts are between 50 to 100 million. You know, I don't know how you go from having assets from 100 to 500. Like, is one day something worth something? And but that's, you know, that's financial.
Yeah, it's quite a swing.
Yeah, a very big swing. So this just surprised me. And they claim that part of the problem is that in Russia, some of their assets have been seized. They've been fighting copyright battles for years, which is why they changed the vodka from Stolichnaya to Stoli. You know, and then, of course, when Russia invaded Ukraine, many things Russian took a big hit when from a sales point of view. And I think Stoli might have been one of them because, it's, you know, its claimed fame was that it was Russian vodka, right?
Right. So the founder of the company is Yuri Scheffler, and he left Russia in 2002, which really pissed off Putin. So that's one of the big issues, right? So Putin was mad because he felt Stolichnaya was, you know, such a ubiquitous Russian brand. So he went and is making the vodka. Stoli's being made in Latvia. And I think you and I covered this story about a year or two ago.
We did, yes.
On the focus group. And Putin has resurrected Stolichnaya in Russia. And that's and Stoli has become Stoli, you know, everywhere else in the world, essentially. And so there's a battle between them. And Mike, I can't imagine that it had anything to do with the Russian conflict. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was surprised by the statement where it says there was a reduced demand for spirits in 2023, 2024. I'm guessing that's across the board, but I don't know what the drinking habits are. I knew beer was down. I think a lot of people are doing those canned beverages or those canned seltzer
and
things.
Craft beer. So like normal beer brand might be off, but craft is. And I just, did I hear on the news recently that Michelob Ultra, I think I might have heard it on Marketplace on NPR, Michelob Ultra just became the number one beer on tap, beating out Bud Light. So yeah, the spirits, this whole industry is constantly in change. And, you know, they measure their success by case sales, what are bars ordering, the whole bit. So
it's always in panic, right? I mean,
it's always in panic.
I mean, when you look at Heineken in all the trades, you know, Heineken brings in a new marketing manager like you would go to the bathroom. I've never seen a brand switch out people every week. It's new Heineken. So-and-so takes over CMO. It's as bad as Coca-Cola, the same thing. There's always somebody new coming in who's going to save the day for sugar water or, you know, barley and hops. So,
aren't you glad you gave up soda a while ago?
I am, although I found... you know, Richard's mom had passed away, and she had a bunch of A&W root beer and ginger ale that Richard has brought down to the house. I threw a couple in there, and it was one day I was kind of just tired of water all the time. I thought, I'm going to pop one of these. Woo!
Do you have a root beer?
But I had the ginger ale. It was almost like putting, you know, Pop Rocks in my mouth because I haven't had the fizzy in so long. It was like,
Yes. We had Bob had bought little cans of ginger ale for some, because his niece was visiting at the time.
Good mixers.
She wanted Shirley Temple. She was like two Thanksgivings ago. She wanted a Shirley Temple. And I'm like you up in the refrigerator one day. I'm like, you know, I have water all the time, lots of water. And I thought, I think I'll have a little ginger ale. It was surprising, not only had the fizz, but also it's a strong drink, right?
Well, it's sugary. Yeah. They're both, you know, they're all, and the root beer is total sugar. I mean, that's just...
Well, we had to ban that from the home for a while. We got on this kick where we would buy this vanilla. Lactaid makes this vanilla ice cream that Bob used to be able to have. And once we got that, plus the A&W, you know, root beer floats.
Nothing better. It's nothing better.
It was a habit. We would have like, it was starting to really like, I'm like, okay, we need to clamp down on this. No more soda. Yes to
root
the
root beer float and a brownie. You're strict up there. You're strict. You know, you stop things. You can't just give things and take them away, John. You gotta. You know.
Yeah. Okay. I don't
you
know
have
how
to wean
we got totally going bankrupt, but we hope they survive. All right. I teased our next story at the start of the podcast, and that's Gen Z to the rescue: how malls are winning over a generation of in-person shoppers. I'm just going to synopsize this by saying Gen Z likes to buy things quick. They like to sample things in person. They like to try things on because it beats packing it up and mailing it back again. They like immediacy. They like, you know, if they see something, they want to go buy it. They like the social aspects of walking around. And some of these stores and malls are now putting on concerts or events. And they mentioned in the article Abercrombie and Fitch, Hollister, brands I've never heard of. But Tim, I'm saying it this way, and I don't mean to be rushing the article, only because this was such a classic case of what's old is new again. This is why people went to the mall in the first place, when the only way to buy clothing used to be in a store.
Right.
And you know, any guy who, anybody, doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you're buying pants or shirts or something, you often do want to try it on. I mean, that's, they have this interesting statistic about men and clothing, like men hate shopping for clothing. And one of the things they really hate is having to try stuff on. But I will go through and suffer the endless trying on until I find the thing that works. But this is what the article was basically about, that Gen Z is bringing malls back because they'll see something online, they'll go to the mall to get it in person.
Right.
And I thought, am I reading this? Like, wasn't this what we were doing in the 80s and the 90s?
Well, and you wanted instant gratification, right? How many times did you go out on a Saturday afternoon and then you want to wear it out Saturday night, which you can't do if you're ordering online. The other thing, there were two things that surprised me about the article. One of them, and you gave it a perfect synopsis, but one of them was they said Gen Z was more like baby boomers than not in terms of all the other generations. Yeah. And we saw that in the election. You know, everybody seems to think Gen Z was this non-binary, you know, half of them are LGBT. You know, remember, it was all the
they were going to save statistics around. Yeah.
Right. Well, they found out differently that a lot of young Gen Z people voted for Trump. So it's the instant gratification thing. It's the experiences. It's wanting to try something on. I know I just ordered something. I won't say the retailer, but I just ordered something that I had an expectation for that I was shocked of the quality of it when it arrived.
As in bad?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you who it was. It was L.L. Bean.
So
I have an expectation of what their product is. And I ordered this product that had I seen it in the store and touched it and felt it and tried it on, I would have never even considered it, considering the price. And now I'm aggravated because I've got to return it.
So
I'm probably going to go find a store to return it to rather than try to pack it up. But I can totally see you want to touch and feel something.
Yeah. And the article, going back to what Tim said about Gen Z being more like the boomers in terms of the baby boomers in terms of behavior, they did say something interesting in here that I keep forgetting, that this generation is bookended by the Great Recession and COVID. So when they were all really young, the Great Recession hit and many people around them, uncles or parents, whatever, were financially strapped or people lost job, unemployment was high, savings were lost. And then you fast forward to COVID-19 when many of these, the Gen Zers were like entering college, you know, like, and they went from being social to having meals delivered to the door of their dorm room, you know, and they're all living on their screens. So when the author of the piece, this was on CNBC, by the way, when the author kind of put that in there, I'm like, interesting, because this would warp your sense of things. Now, for us, since we go back further, you and I, the mall was a destination. You'd go hang out at the mall, right?
Yeah, you hung out at the mall. It was a social thing. You would see people who were there. It was, you know, the town square. For a lot of people, it was. And that's where they said some of the old movies, Clueless and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah, a lot of them, you know, the mall played an important part. I used to go to the mall quite frequently. You'd go to the record stores. You would, you know, go get a t-shirt or a pair of pants, whatever, jeans. So, but it's interesting. I don't know what they're going to do. There's a huge amount of outlet malls down here that are, I think, that are struggling. And they're trying to repurpose them. Brands are doing pop-ups. They're doing concerts. They're renting them out as doctor's offices.
God, I'm glad I'm not in commercial real estate, right?
Yeah, it's a tough go.
Our last article is a quick one, and I picked it because we love this band, and we love them for so many reasons, and one of them is because of branding and marketing. And the article comes from Super Deluxe Edition. It's a website, and it's called Pet Shop Boys and the Art of the CD Single. So the Pet Shop Boys are actually in the habit still of releasing many tracks as singles, sometimes on a double CD. And the benefit of that is that, you know, a lot of people used to love the B-sides of the 45 singles. You know, they were tracks that the band didn't deem,
right,
you know, that they would make the album, but they were B-side. And the Pet Shop Boys have made a specialty out of releasing singles with good B-sides, tracks that are like, wow, like I would, like maybe it's a version of something they did before, or a dance mix or something they didn't put on an album, but it's still a Pet Shop Boys mix. So I love this, and I sent this to Bob because he's a huge Pet Shop Boys fan, but do you still get their music on CD at all?
I was going to say the last thing I bought was from when I went to the concert with you and Bob, and I forget the name of that album. I was going to say, for me, I'm a huge music person, although I will say in the last 10 years, I probably have bought less because I think iTunes screwed up with the constant changing. I think the last thing I actually bought was an Adele CD. Mm. And I bought the Pet Shop Boys music online. The one thing that shocks me about the Pet Shop Boys is they are constantly, you know, they're in their 70s.
Yes.
And constantly putting out music.
I mean, and it's still, not bad music. It's good
music.
No,
and it's not like it's, okay, we'll wait a year or two. You know, B-52 is every 5 or 10 years they put something out. These guys are putting stuff out every few months. it's crazy to me. And I just, when you sent this, I thought, oh my God, I'm behind. And I went and I pulled up the, I went to Amazon Music and pulled up the latest. And there's a bunch of remixes there of this stuff. And it's just a fun band. And you're, you know, we saw them. We didn't get a picture taken with them, did we?
No, you had to pay extra for that, but we chatted. That's when, this is Bob's Patsy moment from Absolutely Fabulous. Bob loves the Pet Shop Boys, and he paid to have a meet and greet. All of us were meet and greet tickets.
Right.
We waited online, and we finally get up to them, and they're just, you know, they're prior to the show. They had maybe had dinner or something. They were really polite and pleasant, and Tim and I were on Sirius XM at the time, and we start talking to them, and Tim's like, you know, we would love to have you on next time you come to the U.S. for a tour because we want to talk about your branding and your marketing. And they were really engaged. And meanwhile, Bob's standing there like, I love you, I love you.
Can't have right, and then we booked them, and then Sirius cut it out. Wouldn't let us
they
talk, remember?
Yeah.
Assholes. They found out that we had booked them. And it was funny because I read after you sent this article, he had talked about that's been a problem with them currently with their music, is people say, we want to play your music, we like it, but you're too old.
Interesting.
He said that's what they've been getting. And that was kind of what he said to us. We said, how come you're not? Because we said to them, how come you're not doing a tour of SiriusXM? Because nobody's asked us. And he gave us his agent's number. Remember, we contacted him.
And
they were
responsive.
All excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were going to come in that Saturday. We promoted it. And then somebody in the music area at Sirius got mad, probably because they, A, didn't think of it and or didn't do it.
I think it's both of those things, Tim.
Yeah. It's like when they tried forever to get Tim Gunn and we ended up getting him on. Thank God we didn't let him know.
Oh, my. Yeah. Anyway. Ooh, I feel like a Band-Aid's been ripped off.
Sidebar.
It's a total sidebar. Okay, so check out the Pet Shop Boys singles. If you haven't bought any recently, there's a whole world of CD singles. Sometimes it's a double CD, tracks you may or may not know, but it adds a whole other level to the canon of their music. All right, as I mentioned at the start of TFGM Button here, Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987, has been a partner of ours here on the show since we began TFGM Button. We are very thankful to have them as friends of the show and encourage you to visit there by going to focusgroupradio.com and clicking on the Critics' Choice Video logo. Now, I loaded ccvideo.com, and I always laugh at what comes up because it's like oddly tailored for me. So I looked there are three things right away. Like the first one was a documentary that I think everybody who's a Star Trek fan or a Bill Shatner fan should check out. It's called William Shatner, You Can Call Me Bill. That's I've seen it already, but it's $15.96 on DVD, and I think it's a worthy thing. The next thing I see is one of my favorite movies, the original Murder on the Orient Express. And this is Albert Finney, Ingrid Bergman, Lauren Bacall, John Gielgud, Jacqueline Bisset, Sean Connery. It's like, you know, all-star cast, Agatha Christie, and it, you know, directed by Sidney Lumet. Can't get any better than this. They remade it a few years ago, but this is the one that if it's on, I'll watch it. You know, it's typical, typical Hercule Poirot. Everything gets tied up at the end. Anything on your homepage there?
Yeah, and it's actually released today, December 17th. It's called For Love or Money on Blu-ray. Came out in 63, stars Mitzi Gaynor and Kirk Douglas. It's a it's a screwball comedy where they're trying to hook up these three women, including Julie Newmar, Mitzi Gaynor, and another woman with Kirk Douglas. And they say that it's a frothy, fabulous, fun screwball farce from the 60s. And so it just, even the cover just looks hilarious. So For Love or Money on Blu-ray just came out today at Critics' Choice Video. So you can get it there, amongst other things. And it's a great time to shop there for some last-minute gift ideas. There's still time. If you head over to focusgroupradio.com and click on the Critics' Choice Video logo, you'll be able to start shopping away. It's America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987, and they've been with us since we started here on TFG Unbuttoned, so we thank them. We hope you all have a safe holiday season, and we will see you next week here on TFG Unbuttoned. Take care.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, available every Tuesday. Learn more about Tim and John, Unbuttoned, and all of the Focus Group platforms at focusgroupradio.com.